We are today learning the last pasuk of the series in Perek Yudalit. We already did the mitzvus and rashi of this last pasuk, which I forgot to do in the radak, and that is the pasuk of pasuk page 848. Okay, so it's 848. Perek in Zechariah. Perek Yudalit pasuk vav. Pasuk of Zechariah, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Vav, V'chayim B'yom Hu'on Atei Lo Ye'or, they will no longer be Or, but instead they will be Ye'koros V'kipa Oin. I just broke up the Pasuk according to Rashi, which Rashi takes the Pasuk to mean Or, there will not be regular ordinary light, but instead there is going to be, Ye'koros means a light that begins to wane, a diminishing light, and is going to be kippa oin. There's going to be darkness.
Frozen light.
And there's going to be darkness. Rambeir wanted the oil to hear what you say. Let me plug it in.
Yeah.
No, you know on the speaker you heard him.
Yeah, we heard him. That was good enough because it's coming through louder.
1 second. It's not working on you. You heard him?
Yeah, I heard him.
Oh. Sorry about that. Okay, so on that day, this is how Rashi looked. Rashi in the positive, on that day, there's not going to be R. But instead, it's going to be Yikros, meaning it's going to be the beginning of darkness. You just look back at Rashi very quickly. The word Yikros, he says, and the Rashi, it means, Loshain Kikar Korim. Okay, Kikar. Okay, Kikar Korim, which, oh, this is the problem, okay. Kikar, which means the beginning of darkness. The beginning of darkness.
He calls it the disappearing light.
The disappearing light. This word means the disappearing light. And the next word, the kippon means thickness. Okay, thickness comes from the word thick. Thickness over here means like ice, something congealed.
Worse than choshech.
Okay,
it sounds worse than choshech.
Yes, it's a congealing of light, like a thick darkness. So again, we learn again, according to Rashi learns...
It means lo ye'o or will be or. According to the Tamim, it's after o is a stop.
Right.
Lo ye'o...
Comma. But instead, there will be yikaros v'kipo. That's perfect. According to Rashi learns what or to mean light. They will not, on this day of this event that we spent 2 days on, of when Hashem arrives in the Harazesim and the mountain will split, there will not be regular, ordinary light. Comma. And the Ta'amei HaMikdash of Kalman said it's a munach zokev katon, which means that's the end of an expression. But instead, there will be yikarois, a light. What was your word again? What was your expression?
Disappearing.
A disappearing light. The word yikarois, according to Rashi, means light will now begin to disappear, like the light that appears in the top of the mountain in the early morning. I mean, when the sun comes up, then it's even more light. But that particular light that appears by the top of the mountain, that light disappears. There's a certain brightness, a certain shine that occurs early in the morning on the top of the mountain, and that will now begin to wane. A light that will now disappear, and it'll get worse. It will turn into kippa'on, a type of darkness, a thickness, a congealment of the light. The Mitzudos David disagreed, not this, but they had a different approach. And he did not follow the Ta'amei HaMikra. He was not held back by the fact that it's a munach koto, but he said that the word yikoros shall be read together with the word or. By Yom on that day, lo yihye or yikoros, period. He put the comma after the word yikoros. There will not be on that day a bright light. There are many varieties of or, many shades of or. There's a lighter or, a more intense or, a bright or. Or means light. It comes in many different shapes and forms. You ever go to a store where they sell electric fixtures? Okay, all different types of ways you can illuminate a room. Today it's so sophisticated. You buy a light bulb. What color light do you want? They only give you, go on Amazon, you have 10 choices of nuances of yellow light, white light, blue light, things which the human eye can even detect. And they confuse you by, you waste half a day trying to figure what, just to buy a light bulb. It used to be very easy in the old days. You go into the store, you buy a light bulb. What's there to think about? Today, oh, you go on Amazon, you get lost there for an hour just buying what kind of light bulb. Should there be a yellowish tint, a whitish tint, a bluish tint? What's this all about, this mishigas? One spent an hour deciding what toothpick to buy. I used to go on Avenue M to the Chinese store, buy toothpicks for 99 cents. Ah, go on Amazon. Amazon only had a choice of 50 different types of toothpicks. Bamboo wood, this wood, that wood. Whew! Okay, you have a lot of choice. So there are many types of ore. And the pasuk here says, Lo ye or ye koros, according to the Mitzvah stuff, there's not going to be a bright light. But instead, there's going to be the kippah oin, a thick, dark light that's been muddled, that's been diminished, that lacks purity, lacks brightness. This is what the Mitzvah stuff it says.
Fading light.
According to Rashi, the word yikoros means fading away. Mm-hmm. According to the Mitzudos, the word yikoros means bright. The word yikoros is the adjective of or. Lo yihir or yikoros. There will not be a bright light, but instead there will be a kipaon, which means a thick light, which really means in this case like a darkness. Now let's see the Radak. We did not do the Radak on this pasuk, even though we did the Radak on the rest of the section. Pasuk Vav. On page 849, on that day when the mountain Har Hazesim will split and open up, there will be another event. Obviously, the Radak is following the approach of Rashi. He is ignoring the Tamei HaMikra. He's not being held back with the Zakef Katon and the word or, but he connects the word Yikarois with the word or. Vuhu or Yikarois Kmo Vyoreach Yokar Hoylech. We find the term Yokar in other contexts describing you being used as an adjective, describing the type of light that comes forth from either the sun or the moon. Okay, the moon which reflects the sun's light. Below, and now here's what makes difference. Here is where the Radak is distinguishing himself from Rashi, and he is repeating the word lo yihye, as is extremely common in Nach, to repeat words. And he says here, velo or kipoy, not only will there not be a light that is bright, there will not be even a light that is called kipoy. Now, what does that mean? Velo or kipoy. Maybe we actually did this. I just forgot. And he's saying it's going to be none of the above. It's not going to be a bright light, and it's not going to be a dark light. It's going to be nishtahi nishtaher. And that's going to add to the confusion. And the message people are not going to understand what does this mean. Does this mean that this event of the splitting of Hazesim is a good sign? It is the beginning of the Geula, or maybe not. Maybe this is a bad sign. This is the beginning of Rahman Litzlan, a very great Churban to the world. Kaloimar, loy birvacha, v'loy bitzara. The light is not going to be expansive. It's not going to be a simen toiv. It's not going to either also be necessarily to an extreme of bad. It's going to be both elements. It says beferish in the next pasuk, which we didn't learn yet. The yon, fine. That's in this interpretation. The yon is interpreting. It's targum learns there's not going to be a lot. This light. Lo yehin ohora elohein adai ugilid. I think it's the same idea. This light is not going to be, yikoros means bright, Ugalid is like a scab. A galid means a hard, where mucus turns into, becomes hard. Galid, we, I think in modern Hebrew is ice cream. Galida. Congealed, right. Congealed.
That's sort of, it's not hard, but it's harder than liquid, but it's
not,
not
as hard as a solid. Not as hard as a solid. The word galid in Tanakh is in Mishnah is used anything that starts out as a liquid and becomes and then hardens, both for good and for bad. For example, a scab on a wound starts out as blood, as different bodily excretions, and it's also used in reference to human waste. If a person is not fully clean from coming out of the Beis HaKiseh, and where there used to be waste, it turns hard. And that hardness, that a small piece of human waste, which becomes hard and is cleaving to the body. So there's a shaila, is that something which is repulsive for tefillah? The word is called glid tsoya. So the word glid doesn't mean something else. Over here, saying on that day, there's not going to be, I think saying the same thing as what Radak says, on that day, there's not going to be
glida,
right? Like in modern Hebrew, glida means ices, ice cream. Glida. Okay, but in the Mishnayis, it means anything that starts off soft and turns hard. And on this day, there's not going to be an or that's yikarois, that's bright, that's called odai, and there's not going to be an or that's kipon, that is dark. None of the above. Next, pasuk. That's it. Okay, that's the red eye. Now let's go over here in the Malbum. That's really where we're up to, the Malbum.
The question is, I don't understand what's the purpose of this whole thing. It shows knowledge, confusion.
So far, you're saying very good. So far, no one really explained. Rashi and Susan Radak have not really explained what do we mean by army. When we on our own, when we describe the valleys, we add Rav Mechol, added from the Maral, his ideas, different ideas. But you're right. If you want to say, go back to my Sibereshis, if you want to follow in the classic Mefarshim of Or, Bereshis, Berlekim, Eis, Hashem, Eis, Eretz, 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 Or. What does that mean? Does it mean just it was ordinary light? Well, Ayin, Panim, L'Torah. Yes, it does. But it also means there was spirituality. Rabbi Chol, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, it's a transition point between the darkness of the exile and the enlightenment of the Geula.
Transition between the darkness of exile and the light of Geula. Right, or over here also obviously means some type of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal himself. Ul'chol b'nei Yisrael chayso or b'moy shvayisam. We discussed this. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brought upon the Egyptians the mark of Choshech. So we discussed, what does that mean? So Pashim Shadim means that it was a real darkness. A darkness, it was black. The darkness took on the thickness, they could not even move. But Klali, L'chol b'nei Yisrael chayso or b'moy shvayisam, they did not experience, they had light. But then we discussed the other approach. It does not necessarily mean that there was a physical darkness. There was a depression. At this point, after 8 makos, after 9 makos, the Egyptians came to realize that they're living a life of a lie. Their whole existence, their whole existence in this world, everything is just a lie. Everything is, there's no meaning or value. After experiencing what Hashem was doing for Klal Yisrael and what they were missing out on, they suffered for clinical depression. And Rachmana Litzlan, people who have suffered from clinical depression, severe form of clinical depression, they can't get out of bed. They're literally.
If we have it on the Maka of Corona, then if you have 8 Makas before that.
Well, Maka of Corona is more of a physical debilitation. The person physically can't breathe because the body is broken down. But let's talk about mental illness. Mental, Rachman Utslan, no one should ever know from this. Unfortunately, I had one friend, and I had, unfortunately, I know of others who had a breakdown, a real meltdown, and Rachmana Litzlan, it's frightening, it's just frightening. What could happen to a person? And Baruch Hashem, today he's fine and well, he's thriving, he's marrying with a child soon. He's unbelievable, only because I have another friend who literally is going straight to Gan Eden with no... There's one person I know in this world that's going straight to Gan Eden. I have no doubt, is someone that I know who went and took this person on his own to a doctor about 100 times and made sure that he took his medicine and took it upon himself to be fully responsible, because this person's parents and then later, after he got married, his wife were out to lunch. They could not deal with this. They could not deal with this. They didn't want to deal with this. They were totally, they were overwhelmed with other things. And this person, who was his good friend from childhood, he went, saw what was going on. He made a million phone calls. He physically took him to the doctor, sat with him for hours and hours, went into every single meeting and told the doctor what's going on, and went to one doctor, another doctor, another doctor, and experimented with the medicines until he found exactly what he needs. And of course, the person, the patient, I don't need medicine. Oh, no. I'm perfectly healthy, right? I don't need medicine. What kind of... I'll do you a favor. I'll take the medicine. I'll do you a favor. And when he stops taking the medicine, boy, he really loses it. It's unbelievable. And because this person went and took the interest and spent so much time with him, that's why you wouldn't even know. And that's why he was able to get married. And can I know he has quite a number of children, and he's marrying off a child very soon. And like, who gets the credit here? Who gets the credit? This one fellow. And once he did it for him, he did it for some other people. I don't know how he has time. You know, he works. I don't know how he has time for this. And then a certain very rabbinic figure, I don't think give you too much information, he found out what was going on. And he started sending him some other people that needed help. He didn't take them all on. He didn't have the time to do it. But you want to talk about chesed, what people do in this world, it's unreal. So when I saw this happen many, many years ago to this friend of mine, I was like, I almost had a meltdown. A healthy, strong, normal person all of a sudden goes crazy in the sugar. And it's horrible. But there's such a thing of mental illness, Rachman Lassan, clinical mental illness, where a person is immobile. You're glued to your bed. You cannot move. The Yomesh Choshech, darkness of the mind. Darkness of the mind. Klal Yisrael, ul'chol b'nei choysa or b'mei choysam, it was lichtik. There was a sense of happiness. Mission. There was a plan for the future. You know, it's an incredible time in a person's life, you know, when you're looking forward to something exciting and everything is fine and good. It's a frame of mind. So if you take that idea and you want it injected into this pasuk, we're dealing over here with Yimei Samashiach, Melchem Eskoi Gumagoik. There's something is happening in the world. The earth, Har HaZesim, has split open, and this massive crater, as we discussed for 2 days, all of the details. What does this mean? Does this mean Mashiach is coming? And Klal Yisrael is elated, and there's a sense of happiness and joy and yearning to be close to Hashem? Or is this event to be understood that, Rachmana Litzlan, we're on the edge, we're at the beginning, another Churban in this world. And everyone is entering into a state of depression. What is the frame of mind? Is it Ulchol b'nei Yisrael Chayisa or b'moy Shvayisam? Or are we suffering from what the Egyptians suffered from? Is that V'yomesh Choshech? We're going home into our bedroom and we're lying down underneath the bed and we're depressed. The economy is collapsing, we have no future, no nothing, everything is spiraling out of control. What is it? So it says here, lo yihyeh or, none of the above. Nishtahi nishtaher. It's even worse. It's a state of confusion. We're in a person knows, he say, everyone knows, Alcoholic Anonymous, everyone knows is that you can't heal until you hit rock bottom. If you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere lower to go than to go up. There's a certain mile of once you hit rock bottom. So if you're in a matzav of v'yomesh choshech, call the doctor. You know what to do. If you don't hit rock bottom, you know, that's to a certain degree, when you're not here, you're not there, it's even worse because you're not going to help yourself. And that's tzara. It says in this day, lo yihye or, there will not be or. What will there will not be two, there will not be an or of yikorois, and there will not be an or of kipa'on. And we, in other words, we're going to be in a very great state of confusion. What in the world is going on? Is Mashiach coming, or is this the beginning another cycle of Churban? And that is a very painful thing, to be in a state of confusion. People, the most satisfying thing in this world is clarity. Clarity in what is the matzav. The biggest tzara of Corona, I think all people think about Corona this last year and a half, is we don't know anything. No one can put their hands on it. No one understands anything. How does it spread? How does social distancing really work? Do masks really work? How many masks do you need? Is the vaccine good to take, not good to take? And if it's good to take, does it provide immunity? For how long does it provide immunity for? They need a booster shot and they need this. And if you already had Corona and you have antibodies, how protected are you? Why this person? Why not that person? Yeah, so we're trying to collect all the information and make sense out of all of it. But at the end of the day, the people who are honest will tell you, we don't know anything. We take all the precautions that we can, take all the precautions you can possibly take. If they tell you it's good for you to do this, do it. Everything, don't worry about these crazy conspiracy theories, fine. But the end of the day is, we're lost. Did this happen naturally? Did it happen? Was it an accident? Was it done maliciously? Who did it? Everything is a big, big mystery. Every single element. That is the tzara. That is the tzara. If we at least we knew what we're dealing with, know thine enemy. If you know what is going on, what is the agenda, what is the disease, exactly how does it spread, what can we do to prevent the spread, what can we do to heal from this disease, what can we do to prevent it from coming upon us, with clarity, it's a different ball game. The tzora is, we're living today in a matziv, lo yihye or, there is no light. There's not a light of yikorois, and there's not a light of kipa'on. Total confusion. We're in a state of not here and not there. Now let's see the Malbim. The Malbim is on Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav in the Malbim, short Malbim, on page 848. Now he really goes to an extreme, the Malbim. The Malbim is quoting from Medrash. And the Medrash of Yisrael says on that thing, it's going to cease, the light of the sun and the moon is going to cease to give life. He's taking a pasuk from Yeshaya, that on this day he's going to in a massive extreme. There's not going to be or. The sun will, I don't know, what does this mean? Just implode? Do you have such a thing? The sun just going to cease to exist? What does that mean exactly? And instead, the or, man will live by the or of Hashem, v'loyeh b'mitzius or gashmi. What? What? No or, the sun? No more sun. The sun just disappears. V'lo loy or yikorois, v'lo or keep on. Everyone learn, everyone sing, everyone, there's not going to be or of yikorois, not or of keep on. Ritzon Elohim, lo or Hashem Eshuhu or Atzmi, o Yokor. Now this is very beautiful what he says over here. How he ties to the word kippa oin, reflective light. Yokor means original light, the source of light, the sun. And then there is reflective light. Seen all the fancy wedding, all the expensive wedding halls and expensive lighting devices, it's always reflective light. There's something about reflective light that's much more appealing to the eyes. Like you go to a wedding hall, so the light shines up on the ceiling. It doesn't shine down. They have very powerful electric bulbs, and it shines on the ceiling. And the intensity of the light on the ceiling is what illuminates the room, right? You see this in all of these beautiful lobbies and wedding halls, and in your home, some of the more expensive lighting fixtures. There's something about it. It's not just that it looks nice, but there is a certain delicacy that the eye is. It's more appealing to the eye when the light is not direct. When you illuminate your home through indirect light, you shine the light on the ceiling, and that light reflects upon a white ceiling, and that reflects upon the room. It provides a different type of ambiance. And it says over here, that's exactly the moon. The moon provides light. It's a reflective light. The stars provide reflective light. And on this day, there's not going to be the original light, which is called Yokor. And the reflective light is called Kipa'on. All the other commentators are telling us what Kipa'on means, some type of congeal light. And what does that mean? It means that they all seem like darkness, some thickness, some scary, gloomy Friday the 13th type of light. Okay, that's what they're all telling us. It's not what it's over here. We're talking about Adarabba. The word Kipa'on represents a certain delicate light. It's a beautiful light, which is a reflective light, which you see from society is very, you know, Puk Chazi Ma Amadvar. So obviously it appeals to many people, this type of light. And that's what he says over here. It's not going to be our Hashavashu, our Atni, our Yakavala, or Yariach Shukachim Shahim Rak Mikablamar, Shetsof al Kaduram Hamikshi. It floats on Kaduram, their ball, which means the moon is round. Hamikshi. Al-Yidei, I don't know what Hamikshi means. I don't know what that word means. Kaduram Hamikshi. Al-Yidei HaShemesh Shemako Alehem.
Somehow it's talking about reflection.
Right. V'Horchoizer. It's clear as day that he's referring over here that the light of the sun, it floats. He has a very unique way of describing reflective light. The light floats upon the surface of the moon. That light has come from the sun, and it's choizer, it shoots back at the earth, at society. There's not going to be any existence of regular light at all. Now, Derech Agav, I saw something this year, really blew my mind. Raps, of Aaron Raps. He was my 8th grade Rebbe in Chaim Berlin many years ago, and he wrote, he writes every single week, for decades, literally decades, on the first page of the Yated Ne'eman, in the English Yated Ne'eman, he writes a Dvar Torah every single week. Literally decades, it's amazing. And he's very deep, he's a very, very deep person. He writes very, very deep things. So for the first time this year, he published, or someone published, someone really published for him, some of his articles on Chanukah. Started with Chanukah, had a very nice book, and I read the introduction, Gesundheit. I read part of the book, but the introduction blew my mind. Totally blew my mind what it says, and it relates to what it says over here. A little bit off the topic, but I'll let me share with you. And he talks about this idea that when the world was created, there were two Me'oiros HaGedoylem. Eshnei HaMe'oiros HaGedoylem. Es HaMe'or HaGodol U'mem Shelesh Bayim. And then the pasuk switches. So what does Rashi say? That originally there were two Me'oros equals, and the moon complained, Ein shnei melochim mishamshim bekeser echad. Hashem, you can't have two kings. Who's the boss? So Hashem says, you're right, l'chi mimati es atzer, because you asked the question, you, the moon, diminish yourself. Now, if you go talk to, you know, the average, what does this mean? I mean, no one really knows what this means. This is all very mystical stuff, of course. But if you ask the average person, explain to me in a very simple explanation what this means, they're going to tell you that it used to be, back in the day, before 9/11, that the sun was a source of light and the moon was a source of light. The moon had its own light. The moon radiated. Okay, go ask the scientists whatever that means. And then because they complain, Hashem says, okay, you know what? No more radiation. I'm taking away from you your source of radiation. Instead, you're just going to reflect. You're just going to be a reflector. You're not going to be a source of light. right? That's the very basic pshat in what this means. There are a lot of holes and flaws in saying that. Fine, that's like a very elementary approach. They teach this to you in kindergarten and nursery. They tell you that's what it means. So he I don't remember this. I don't think it's his idea, but he quotes another fascinating idea. He says as follows. It's an amazing concept. When the sun shines, first of all, let's start with the premise, no such thing. The moon never, ever, ever, ever had its own light. It's nonsense. The moon was always a reflector from day one. Impossible the moon has its own source of light. Why then was it called the Shnei HaMa'aris HaGedolim? Now listen to this, this is amazing. Because, what think about it, when the sun shines, there's a lot of waste. The sun shines, the sun is enormous. It gives off an enormous amount of light. Where does most of that light go? It goes to waste. No one is absorbing that light. It just goes all the way out there to the wild. Who knows where it goes? The moon intercepts that light. There's a moon that travels around the earth. Oh, there's an impediment. There's a moon. The moon is stopping the light from going further. The moon is absorbing the light. And absorbing, it's absorbing. And when it absorbs the light, what does it do in the process? It reflects. But it's only reflecting a mashahu, a teeny little, not a mashahu, a mashahu, a very small amount. The moon, you look in the sky, you see the stars, you see the moon. Those are the entities that are absorbing what the sun has to offer. The sun has a lot to offer this world. It's giving off enormous radiation. How many things are there out there in the world that are taking advantage, absorbing its light? Well, look in the sky. A lot of stars. There's the moon. They're all absorbing. And when they absorb that light, they automatically reflect a little bit of it back to us. It used to be, back in the day, now this ghost doesn't make this also, doesn't need much more explanation, there was Shnei HaMa'aris HaGedolim. There was the moon. Now, again, this doesn't answer the question, but it means the moon was much, much bigger. And thus the moon absorbed everything that the sun had to offer in a certain way, in a certain dimension. If you would make relative to the earth, again, this is all relative to the earth, but if the moon was much, much more massive, a much bigger rock than it is today, then the moon will have absorbed a lot, lot more than it absorbs today. And you know what that means? The moon becomes a godol, a great entity, because it's doing what it's supposed to do. The Shemesh is the giver. The Yoreach is the receiver. If the one who receives everything that the one who gives has to offer, that makes the receiver great, because it's doing everything it could possibly do. You hear stories about, you know, you write in the Gedolim books, you don't hear this today, but there were certain Rebbeim who would have Talmidim, and at a certain point in time they would say to their Talmidim, it's time for you to leave. There's nothing more I can do for you. I've taught you, I've given over to you everything that I can give to you. And now you have to move on and go to some greater people who have more to offer. You're a very great person. You have enormous potential to absorb Chochma Yerushalayim. You're done here. I've given over to you everything that I have. There's nothing more I can do for you but you're a great person. You can absorb more. So go to other people to absorb from them. If the moon was much larger, the moon would absorb much, much more. There would be much, much less baltashkes. And that would make the moon very great. Because if the sun gives and the moon absorbs everything the sun has to offer, there's no difference then between the sun and the moon. If you're the Rebbe, and the Talmud is a zero, he doesn't know the alphabets, and the Rebbe is the Chacham HaGadol Mikol Ha'am, and the Rebbe nurtures and raises the Talmud, he teaches him the Aleph Beis and Chumash and Mishneh Gemara and Medrash and Zohar, Sichas Chulin and Malachi Hasharis, and don't forget about the conversation between the Dekol and the palm trees. So now, what's the difference between the Rebbe and the Talmud? The Rebbe knows everything, and the Talmud knows everything. Oh, you'll tell me, but the Rebbe was the one who gave it over. He's the originator, and the student, he didn't know this, he received it, so what? The bottom, at the end of the day, if they both take a test, they'll both get a 100 on the test. They both know the same thing. So the Rebbe is a Gadol, and the Talmud is a Gadol. The sun is the giver, the moon is the receiver, and the moon receives everything the sun has to offer. So the moon said to Hashem, this is not fair. We're both the same. The sun gives, I receive. I received everything. So why? I'm a reflector, but I'm a makabel, and I was makabel everything the sun has to offer. So what then is the difference? So Hashem says, you're right. L'chi m'maydes atzmeich. The sun has a lot more to give than you'll ever be able to be to receive. When you diminish yourself, a lot of that sun's rays are going to go nowhere. The sun has a lot more to give. You'll never be able to absorb everything the sun has what to offer. So you're only a katon. You're not a gadol anymore. Okay, that's a... Yeah. Seven times more. We learned this.
The moon should be restored to its
original state.
Its original state.
So what does that mean, its original state? Equal to Orchama. So what does that mean? So the simple understanding is that the moon will one day get its own source of light. Okay, that's what they tell you in kindergarten. Is that what it means? Listen, I am Palmu Torah. But this is a whole different approach. The moon will never, ever get its own source of light. What it means is the moon will be able to absorb everything that the sun has to offer.
One more thing, because I was saying, regarding this big question, Moshe is the Amor.
And Yeshua is the Levana.
Yeshua is the Levana.
Excellent, exactly. See the same exact idea, the Moshe, the Pnei Moshe Kenei Chama, Pnei Yeshua is Pnei Chama. What does that mean? What does that mean? So what it means is that Moshe was not, in our understanding of the sun is greater than the moon, Yeshua is equally is great, but Yeshua was not able to absorb everything Moshe Rabbeinu had to give over. The simple understanding is that Moshe, he's radioactive. Yeshua is a reflector. He's a reflector. What's a reflector? Come on, you don't have to plug him into the wall. Moshe Rabbeinu was plugged into the wall. You know, he gave off the real deal. Yeshua, he's just a reflector. You go on Amazon, you buy your shmata, your reflector. It's no big deal. It's not what it means. There are many perushim, but with this approach, it means Moshe had so much more to give than what Yehoshua was able to absorb. Yeshua was great. He gave over enormous amount of Torah to Klal Yisrael. But from the Rebbe, what did he absorb from the Rebbe? He was not able to absorb everything the Rebbe had to give over. It's a whole new approach. Now take that idea and inject it over here into what the Malbim says. The Malbim says that on that day, in Moshe Mashiach, there's not going to be or. There's not going to be an or, a giver and a receiver. What does it say? What does it say in Chazal? Osid Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasos mochol latzadikim. Who was it? Yoishev or Oymed bo emsa? Hashem is going to be in the center, and all of the tzadikim are going to surround Hakadosh Baruch Hu in a perfect circle. And point zekei livyanvei. What is all that about? In a circle, everyone is the same. Everyone is the same. In a square, the distance each each part of a box towards the center is different. If you have a box, a square, a rectangle, anything that is not a circle, and you look at a point on the square and you measure its distance to the center, there are no two parts of the square. I mean, you have four sides, so each side you can have a match. But when you have a square, the distance between each portion is going to be, that means there are some people who know more and some who know less. Some people are closer, that means they know more. And people that are further, they know less. So the people who know more have what to offer, what to give to those who know less. There's a Rebbe and a Talmud. The situation of Rebbe and Talmud only exists when the Rebbe knows more and the Talmud knows less, and the Rebbe gives over to the Talmud. But when everyone is a Rebbe, everyone is the same, then there's nothing to give. I told this to you a while ago. I don't know if it's still true. Maybe it's not nice to say, but I don't think it's true anymore. But years ago, I asked someone in Lakewood. This goes back a long, long time ago. I asked him, are there a lot of Daf Yomi Shiurim in Lakewood? And he told me no. Okay, this is years ago. I really have no idea what goes on today. Years told me no. I said, well, how could it be? Ir Shakula Torah. Everyone there was learning. Today everyone is working in Lakewood. Today it's a different Lakewood. But years ago, it was a place where only people, you know, I know the development. Every single person in development is working. No one is learning. Everyone has a job. Everyone is working. Those who don't have a job, they're working very hard to get them a job. Everyone, okay, so not the whole Lakewood today is a very different Lakewood. But years ago, it was a place, you go to Lakewood, you go home to learn. No, there are no dafia. Why not? So he said to me in a nasty way, which I don't know if it is, because everyone wants to give the dafia. No one wants to come and listen to a dafia. No, and it's true. It's absolutely true. People, I want to be the one who gives it. So, because everyone feels, I'm sitting and learning the whole day. I enjoy, I want to give it. I don't want to go listen to a shir. There's no mekabel. If everyone is a Rosh Hashiva, there are no Talmidim. You need to have people who are Talmidim and Rosh Hashiva. There's a Noisin and a mekabel. There's the Shemesh and the Yareach. La'asalavai, it says in the Chazal, it's a circle. Everyone is the Magid Shir. Everyone is the Magid Shir. There are no Talmidim. And I want to suggest to you that that's what the Malbim, that Maimer Chazal is really what this Pasuk is saying. On that day, there's not going to be Or. There's not going to be the sun, and there's not going to be the moon. According to the Malbim, the word Yikorois means Yokor. It means the shoresh. And the word kippah oin means the moon, the mekabel, the reflector. What does that mean? Well, when you'll understand what it means, the other mind, the chazal, that also kleshbroch lasas mochol latzadikim, there's a circle which means everyone is the same. That's right. There is no noise, no mekabel, because everyone is the same. Now, what is it all that? I don't know what all that means, but we're trying at least to put things together. Many, many years ago, I went to an Aguda event. It was a different Aguda those days, a whole different Aguda. So I don't know if this was before 9/11. It was a different type of Aguda, and I don't even know what goes on anymore. I'm not on the list anymore. I used to give a Daf Yomi Shir. I still do partially, but I used to give it. I was heavily steeped in a Daf Yomi. Spent the whole day preparing the Daf Yomi, and I was on their Daf Yomi Magid Shir list, and it wasn't such a big list those days. And they made an event. They made an event just for the Magide Shiur, to be mechazek the Magide Shiur, and to provide them with new materials, new ideas, new techniques, and this and that. A whole show, exclusive meeting. And because I was on the list as being as registered with the government as being an official Magid Shiur, I went to this whoever it was, Gabani spoke, and he says, you know, I work for the Aguda, I want to welcome you all, and I'm in charge of events, and we do events every day. We do an event all over the world, event, and then we go here, go there. And I'm always the guy who sets it up, and you know, I'm responsible for the logistics. I'm responsible to rent space where we have our event, and where, you know, to get the tables and the chairs and the food and this and all the whole thing, a whole show. I want to let you know, Rabbi Isai, I've been doing this for a long time. This is the first event that I've ever done for the Aguda where we did not set up a dais. Every event that I do for the Aguda, the first thing, Aguda, Teure, we have a dais. A dais. Who sits on the dais? Oh, who sits on the dais? You know, so we have to make some decisions, some politics go on. Who is Zoyche to sit on the dais? Which Rosh Hashiva, which Rav? Sometimes the Balabas sits on the dais also. We came to make this event for Magide Shiur of Daf Yomi. We looked on the list, and most people here, almost everyone on this shir, has already gone through Shas, except for me, many times. Everyone over here is a Gadol Hadar. We're going to make a dais? And we're going to select who should sit on the dais? We couldn't do it. So there's no dais. We just have tables. Everyone sits in regular tables. Because such a choshuva olam of everyone here is a magid shir daf yomi and knows the whole shas. Who are we to select who should sit on a dais? That was the best. It's all I remember from that event. It was a very long event. The only thing I remember is that speech. He wasn't a Rav. He wasn't a Rosh Hashiva. He was just a manager. They probably paid him minimum wage. And he made this comment as an introduction to the event. See what remains in your mind sometimes? That's what it means. Osra Kodesh Baruch Hu Lassos Mochol Latzadikim V'hu Yeshe Bo Emsa. Everyone's the same. Everyone is the same. You can't go single out people to be miyuchadim, to sit in the front. And again, we're suggesting that's what the Malbim here, a drush on the Malbim, after the Malbim has gone out on a limb and says something extremely novel, that the word yikorois means original light, and the word kipo'oi means reflective light, and original light means the sun, and kipo means the moon. No one said it on this page. That's totally unique. And after we know that there's a principle called to give and to receive, and as we explained from Rabbi Raps in the Hakdama to his Sefer on Chanukah, that a very novel approach to understand what happened by Maisa Bereishis, does the receiver receive everything? If the receiver receives everything, then the truth is, there's really, at the end of the day, there's no difference between the Nois and the Megabel. They're all the same. And there has to be, and Hashem says, you're right. In this world, the only way a person can be called a nice saint is if he has more to give than what the Mekabel receives. That's a very deep idea, what that means exactly. But lo'asid lavoi, that concept will come to an end. There's not going to be a distinction between the nice saint and the Mekabel. As we said, the Or HaLevana will be restored. You said by your Bechol pointed out. So it gives this pasuk a whole new twist. A whole new twist, exactly what it means when we say that it's not going to be a noisin in a makabel. Does it mean literally, or does it mean maybe the pasuk means that the makabel will be elevated to a higher state where at the end of the day that's all the same, so you can no longer distinguish between the noisin and the makabel. The makabel receives everything the noisin has what to offer. Okay, it puts this pasuk in a whole different light, pun intended. Okay. That concludes. Now let's see over here. Maybe just one more chazal before we wind down with this. Okay, we're not going to be able to finish. But let's just do at least one more chazal before we break for Shabbos. So we start with pasuk dalit. Pasuk dalit. Let's go back to page 847. The amdu ragla b'yamhu. Hashem's legs will stand on that day. But on page 847, the very bottom. Al harazay sim rabbi yosi amem yolam lo yorda shchim lamat le olam moshe ve liol lo morayim shenemar hashamayim shemayim lo hashem yoros nasan levnei adam. The Gemara says that it never happened that Kadosh Baruch Hu came down entirely all the way down to this world. The Moshe never went all the way up, not to the extremes. The Gemara asks the question, really? What are you talking about? The lo yorda shchim lamat ve yoksiv ayir hashem al har sinai. What are you talking about? That Hashem never came down to this world. It says explicitly by Har Sinai, by Matan Torah, that Hashem came down to this world. Lamala, so the Gemara here gives the answer. Whenever it says that Hashem came down to this world, it means not to the ground. Hashem never touched the earth.
Okay.
10 tefachim above the ground. That is why the Oroin was exactly 10 tefachim tall. 2.5 amos tall. And the Kruvim began exactly 10 tefachim above the ground. The Shekhinah rested between the Kruvim, which is exactly 10 tefachim off the ground. The Gemara question book said that this is why we need our pasuk, but it says explicitly in Zechariah Perek Yudal pasuk Dalit, what we learned today, the Amdu Raglav by Amuwal Harazesim. So the Gemara says, don't take the pasuk literally. It means above. Hashem was hovering above the ground. His legs came down, but did not actually make physical, not make contact. Lamala mi'asra tvachim. Okay. Now, Eser, okay, we'll stop with this, but I just want to make one point, is that this idea is expanded upon by Chanukah. Because even though the Gemara concludes that Hashem never came down more than 10 tefachim, and if you know the laws of Menorah, a person, lechatchila, is should, people don't do this, not most don't, but some do it, lechatchila, the makom of the menorah, your Chanukah menorah, is supposed to be less than 10 tefachim from the ground. In fact, 7 tefachim. Mm. Okay, why 7, not 1 on the ground itself? That's a different story, but davka less than 10 tefachim. Does that mean the menorah should be less than 10 tefachim, or does it mean that as long as the menorah begins, most people don't pay attention to this at all? And they put it on the table. They're told this is not even an issue for most people. That's fine. We know not everyone is
mocked. The ground or the floor? The ground or the earth?
What? The 7 tefachim from the ground, from the earth, from the lowest level, from you, wherever you are, in your room, you're in the house, so here, from the floor, wherever you light your candles, count from the ground, they have tape measure, 7 tefachim, that's where the Nero should be, or the base of the menorah should be there. Why? Because Chanukah represents this Maimach Gemara, the exception. Chanukah, there was no Leich Kinois es Kol HaYehudim. The miracle of Chanukah was a gift. And to summarize, the gift was Hashem did way, way more than what we deserve. He came down to save us even below 10 Tefachim. We were undeserving. We didn't even ask for help. The Jewish people were literally on the verge of extinction because of the Misyavnim penetrated into the lifeblood of the Jewish people, and the assimilation and the adaption of the culture got to a point where it was literally beyond return. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Tznach HaMiklal Yisrael very soon. They've assimilated, they have absorbed the culture, the Greek Syrian culture, the Misyavnim. It was a civil war. It wasn't the Yavanim were fueling the war from the outside. It's like Lahavdil Elif Alfi Abdullah's Iran and Gaza. Who's really fighting the war in Gaza? The people in Gaza? The cockroaches. They're just proxies. They're proxies for Iran. The people who were fighting the war were us. It was a civil war. Who fueled the people who were fighting to wipe out Yadus? The Yavanim. But who was doing the dirty work? We were. It was a war, it was an internal war. And we were fighting with ourselves, and the people who were poisoned by the Yavanim. But it was the Misyavnim that were succeeding in squashing and suppressing religion. And it came to the point where basically we lost. The war was over. We lost. And Hashem came down lemata meyutvachim. And that's why to express that idea, we light the Chanukah menorah lemata meyutvachim. Again, I told you, most of us didn't heard of this, and we don't do this, but this is what it says in all the books. That's the ideal place to put the Chassidish Rebbes, they do it. They put the menorah exactly 7 tvachim below the ground to show that this Maimer Chazal that we have just learned, Lo yarda shechina lemata me'asara. There's always an exception. There's always an exception. And the exception was the Chanukah miracle. It was Lamata, symbolically, Hashem went, he broke his own rules. He broke his own rules to help us, realizing that we've come to a point that if he does not come down and help us in this matzav and strengthen the five children of Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, they won't be a Kohen Yisrael. Okay, we're going to stop hitting a very short break. There's some chumash in literally in one minute, 60 seconds. 60 seconds to go. Thank you.